spirit even. Praise the Lord. These verses really fit to what I was thinking about the last weeks. When you look in the, here in the outline, point A, Matthew, the verse in Matthew 22, verse 29. The Sadducees come to the Lord and they don't understand anything because they do not have revelation through the Spirit, and they also think they are very wise. And they're trying to make a trap for the Lord Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." This really, I was thinking about this verse. These people, the Sadducees, they were religious people. And I won't say that they did not read the scriptures. I'm sure they probably read them. And outwardly they knew the scriptures, but still the Lord Jesus says here, you're not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. These people were reading the scriptures only with their mind. And they compared what was written in the scripture to what they could imagine and what they were thinking of. And this is a problem even today. We read the scripture with our own glasses, with our own experience, with our own ability to imagine something. What fits together in our eyes? And that's why it says here they were not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And he also means here you don't know the power of God because he, the Lord Jesus, is the power of God. In there are a few verses who say that he came in the power of God. What he did was, or when he talked, he was talking in the power of God. And the Sadducees, they did not know the scripture, nor the power of God. And I want to say, I want to have both. I want to know the word, the scriptures. I want to become free of where our boundaries in me. I want to go into the scriptures deeper and to know the Lord deeper. I want to know the scriptures and the Lord Jesus more in depth. This is my desire for this conference and for my further life. I want to know him. For this it is good to sit at his feet like Maria did, like Mary did. I'm sorry that I'm standing, but imagine that I'm sitting and that we all are sitting together at the Lord's feet and to listen to him and to see what he shows to us in his scriptures. In which things does the Lord want to touch us and wants to reveal himself to us? Not talking about point B, the Spirit was not present because Jesus was not yet glorified. There was a time where this person, Jesus, was not there. And there was also a time where the Spirit was not yet. Only until the time was fulfilled, then God sent his Son. And before that, he was not there. He did not appear yet. And nothing could take his place. Or Nobody could take his place, not the Jews. The Son had to come. And it's the same with the Spirit. Nothing can take the position of the Spirit. I hope this point comes clear in all these verses that we will read and what we'll talk about. Nothing can take the Spirit's part.
Der Herr Jesus sagt dort in Johannes 7, wir haben es gelesen.
In John chapter 7, we read these verses.
Wer durstig ist, der komme zu mir.
He who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.
Und das sagte er von dem Geist. Und das gibt uns
and this he was saying concerning the Spirit.
Und auch eine Anleitung,
this gives us a first impression. How do we get to know the Spirit? By drinking him. By taking him into us. Not by thinking hard about the Spirit, how he is, but by taking him into us. And step by step, we'll get to know him. This Spirit is living, and he has a power in us. First Corinthians 15, verse 45. I'll make it short in the beginning because we all know these verses. This verse comes after John 7. In John 7, the Spirit was not yet. And then here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44, it said that the Spirit is there. And why? Because the last Adam became the life-giving Spirit. This also connects to what we were talking to last night. Last night we saw how the last Adam was created to be a living being. But here, the emphasis is on the last Adam. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And this spirit we want to see this morning. In a few verses, and at this point I want to testify that I was astonished how the Word of God can touch us. I was really touched about a few verses that I wrote down here. I was touched by the Lord's character, by His glory, by His nature, and I hope that all of us are being touched through His Word. I was reading the Gospel of Matthew, and I can only recommend take a part of the Scripture and take an amount of time, and then you take time to read and you stand before the Lord, you look for His presence. To read the Scripture without the Lord does not do much. But to read the Scripture and read it together with the Lord and to take it into yourself with faith, or like you eat the Word, this will work in us. Many of us can testify this. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. I want to start with this verse. In all these verses that we are going to read, it's not about a definition what the Lord is or a definition what the Spirit is, but it's about it's not a definition, it's a telling about the Lord and what He is. It's not a doctrine. The Scripture tells about the Lord Jesus in a wonderful way. Tells about His character. You can see new things again and again, and you can be touched by this wonderful God. You can be touched by His, by the relationship He wants to have with us. He is so wonderful.
Bei all diesen Versen soll im Hintergrund stehen, der Herr ist der Geist.
When we read these verses, have in mind, the Lord is the Spirit. Everything that is written here, or that we'll read, is in the Spirit. The Spirit is wonderful. Now we read why the Spirit is wonderful. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. The Son became the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? Who is the Son? This is the first thing that touched me. It is the Son of David. Who is David? What do we think of when we think about David? He's a king. He was the king. But what else? He was a man after the heart of God. He was also a shepherd. This really touched me. He studied to be a shepherd. This is wonderful. Today, the Spirit, he is a shepherd. He learned to be a shepherd. This is in the Spirit. It's contained in it. The Lord has learned this. He has exercised this. He trained to be a shepherd. In all his dealing with disciples, he was a shepherd. He had a little flock, and they really needed a shepherd. Sometimes the sheep went here or went there, or there they stopped. If you read the different Gospels, you see that. But also at that time, the Lord was the shepherd. Today, the Spirit has the character of a shepherd. And the Lord has not only led His disciples, but it's also said when He sees the whole people of Israel, and they were proud to be God's people, but because of them he was feeling so sad, because he says they are like a flock without a shepherd. And they even rejected the shepherd that was coming to them. And I desire that in our church life that we don't reject this shepherd today, and that we do not take his part, or that nothing takes his part in the church life. I want to read verses in Ezekiel, chapter 34. Verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23.
Dort sagt Gott,
there God says,
als Verheißung, ich werde
I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd.
Für das Volk Israel wird da noch eine Erfüllung kommen, aber für uns heute ist der Herr.
For us today, the Lord is already the shepherd. As the Spirit, He is this shepherd.
Ich sage noch einmal, wir sollten diesen Hirten nicht ersetzen.
We should not let anything take the place of this shepherd. Even if somebody is gifted among us, maybe somebody helps us a lot, let us not that this person takes the part of the Lord. Nothing can take the part of the Spirit. Only the Lord, only the Spirit knows which pastor the saints need. I know what I have seen. I know what I have touched. But the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit knows what everybody needs. Sometimes we don't even say what we need. But the Spirit knows all the needs. And the Spirit has this desire to meet these needs. And we can ask the Lord, the Spirit, please give, give to all the saints. I can also pray, Lord, give to me. But the Spirit is in us. And so we should have this desire that also the saints find a pasture, find food. The Spirit should gain more in us, in our mind, in our desire. We should come away from I need this. Lord, protect me. Lord, give to me. But we should come to what the Spirit thinks about. Lord, your flock. We should think about the whole flock. And this is not only a prayer for the elders in the churches. It's a desire of the Spirit. The Spirit is not only in the elders. The Spirit today is in us. All these needs are in the Spirit. They are His needs. And these He will work in us. This is wonderful. It's His work of confirmation. We'll work together with Him by allowing Him to work in us. We ask Him to work His needs in us. Sometimes we think of our brothers and sisters. Oh, what is this now? And we think about, oh, how can we solve this? How can we change this brother or this sister? That's most likely this is our own thinking or our own desire. But what does the Spirit have for a desire? If something is bothering us when we see the saints, then let us seek the desire of the Spirit in this. Lord Spirit, what do you want to work? Give us an impression how we should deal with this situation. How is as wise as the Spirit? Nobody. Even if we are 20 or 30 or 40 years in the church life, nobody can take the place of the Spirit. The Spirit also knows the dangers, like the shepherd knows the dangers for the flock. We can think about this in our heart, about the shepherd and the Spirit, like Mary was having the word in her heart and thinking about it. The next verse I want to read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 6. I thought I will stay in this first chapter because it tells so much about the Son who became the life-giving Spirit. Verse 6, Matthew chapter 1, verse 6.
Es ist Vers 6. Christus. Vers 16 habe ich mich verschrieben vielleicht. Genau, 16 hätte ich.
It's not verse 6, it's verse 16. Matthew chapter 1 verse 16.
Nämlich von Maria,
and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Christ, he's anointed, he's the Messiah.
Wer war denn gesalbt?
Who was anointed
im Volk Israel.
At that time in the people of Israel?
Bitte? König?
The king was anointed and the priests were anointed. First, the priests were anointed. And then, secondly, the king.
Und der Jesus Christus ist Priester.
And the Lord Jesus Christ is priest and king.
I
want to read a verse concerning this. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Before the Lord rose up to the throne, he was a merciful and faithful high priest to make propitiation for the sins of the people. The Lord had a very big desire that we will be reconciled with God. He wanted to leave his life to pay for our sins, because we all needed this. Because nobody is righteous before God and can stand before God. Nobody can meet God without this propitiation for our sins. This is what the Lord did at the cross. And this same desire or the same attitude is in the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. Does the Lord put aside this feeling of propitiation? He said on the cross it is fulfilled. The Lord always wants to reconcile and forgive. That is his attitude. I think it's in Matthew chapter 5. Or maybe chapter 6, he's looking for the verse where he says, if you want to bring an offering, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. This verse has touched me often. Today and always, this is the desire of the Lord, the reconciliation. The Spirit wants to work reconciliation among us. I'm not talking about not having everlasting life, but to work reconciliation among us. If we are not reconciled with our brother, how can we praise the Lord with a clean heart? Then we are not honest about this. The Lord looks unto our heart. It is a big problem for us if we are holding something against somebody in our hearts. The Spirit wants to touch this again and again. The Lord has taught us in his prayer, and always when we are asking for forgiveness, the Lord reminds us, how do you forgive? This is always goes together. Lord, forgive us how we forgive each other. God is so wise, and he loves us. He wants to help us. He wants to protect us that we're standing in our own way. It's not about doing things wrong or doing mistakes. It's about to be reconciled. That we don't have anything in our hearts against a brother or a sister. We should not hold fast to this. The Lord's Spirit has this desire that all the time we will be reconciled. Among the brothers, among the sisters, in the family. Don't think that the Spirit would not realize if there's something there. In front of others, we can cover many things. We can have many faces. I can take out my different face, different smile. But what is with my heart? The Lord Jesus looks at the heart. He proves the heart. He wants to help us. Reconciliation helps us. When we forgive each other, this helps us. This makes us free. This is the Lord Spirit today. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 is a different verse.
Ja, Maria wurde schwanger von dem Heiligen Geist. Und Lukas 1, Vers 35 heißt es,
Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and it was holy what was in her. This is a very important aspect about the Lord Jesus and about the Spirit. He's holy. He's holy through and through. And so He also wants to sanctify us through and through. That's His desire for us. The Lord does not want to do something on our surface, but sanctify us through and through. I've got an example, it's not so well. I had a watch, and it was some metal around, and it was golden, but it was not expensive. Because they only had a tiny, tiny part of gold there on my watch. In a very, very short time, the gold was away. If we only have a little veil of gold over us, take care, it will not last for a long time. And with my, what was so bad about my watch, after this gold was away from the watch, that you could see the metal, and there was corrosion. If we only put a little covering of gold over our old man, that's not the way of the Lord. Maybe before people, they see that. And this is like we try to change our way of acting, or if we think we should be like this or that, and we'll try it out of our own being. This is not the work of the Holy Spirit in us. The work of the Holy Spirit goes through and through. And it starts in the inside and then goes to the outside. How we try to change our outward being and acting. The Lord can change us. The Spirit can change us and sanctify us through and through. I have some verses from the Old Testament in Micha. Chapter 5.
Noch ganz andere Aspekte.
Micah 5, verse 1.
Da wird vom Messias gesprochen, Verheißung, und du Bethlehem, Ephrata, dass du klein bist unter den Tausendschaften.
Verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. This is our Lord Jesus. This is the Spirit.
Im Geist möchte ich auch sagen, haben wir nicht nur sozusagen den Herrn Jesus, wie er in den Evangelien beschrieben ist.
In the Spirit, we don't only have the Lord Jesus how he is, how we see him in the Gospels, but we have the Son whose beginning is from everlasting. He's the Spirit.
Ich möchte es noch unterlegen mit Versen aus Jesaja 9.
In Isaiah chapter 9.
Jesaja 9, Vers 5.
Verse 5. Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 5.
Ein Kind ist uns geboren, ein Sohn ist uns gegeben. Klar, wer dieser Sohn ist.
Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Today the Lord's Spirit, he wants to rule. His government should be on his shoulder in the church. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor. Today the Lord's Spirit is a wonderful counselor. Are you without, you don't know what to do sometimes? I'm like that often. I don't know what to do. But we have somebody who's a wonderful counselor. He always knows what to do.
Und dann heißt es weiter, starker Gott.
Mighty God, it says then. Everlasting Father.
Daran sehen wir, dass im Herrn,
Here we see that in the Lord Jesus, in this Lord's Spirit, there's also the Father present. In John chapter 16, the Lord says about the Spirit, everything that the Father has got is mine. He will take it from me and he will give it to you. In the Spirit, we also have the Father. We don't have to define this like as a doctrine, but we should enjoy this and praise the Lord. Thank you for this wonderful, rich Spirit that you are. And he is the Prince of Peace. This is a very important aspect for the church life. It's about peace. What is a church life without peace? We sit here in a row, and those who sit there, they don't have peace among each other. What kind of church life is this? There's not much reality of the Spirit there. But the Lord Jesus said, He, the Spirit, He will lead us into all reality. I hope all of us have this desire. Lord Spirit, where we are, in which city, it does not matter. Lead us into all reality. All the churches need. I want to read another verse from Matthew. These verses all tell an aspect of the wonderful Spirit that we have received. Matthew chapter 1.
Verse 21.
And here, God appoints the name of the Messiah. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In the name Jesus, there is saving. Jesus means Savior. When we call His name, then we call our Savior. No matter how the situation is, no matter what kind of saving we need, but He is our Savior in all things. And I have to confess, I need the Savior a lot, in many things, every day. I don't want to name some examples, but I think everybody knows of examples where he or she needs the Lord to save her. The Lord is wonderful and deep. He will save His people from their sins. He will save us from... sin is always that you are in slavery. We have been slaves of the sin. The Lord's Spirit today wants to make us free from all slavery. A short time ago, I read something about how many millions of people are addicted to something. An addiction to alcohol, many millions. Or addicted to cigarettes, addicted to pills, or addicted to games. There's so many million people who are addicted to something. There's so much slavery. But we should not think that it does not affect us. In Luke 18, it comes to my mind. There was this Pharisee who was praying to God, and he was looking down on the sin, on the sinner who was next to him. He looked down on him and he said, "Thank you, God, that I am not like him." So we should also not look down on other people. Praise the Lord if we have not such an addiction. But slavery has very, very many aspects. Sometimes it's a kind of slavery that you have to say something again. In German, there's a saying, you always have to say the last word. It says, you always have to have the last words. But why don't we say, I always have to have the last word? We say it to the other one, but by saying it, we have the last word. This can also be a kind of slavery, or that you don't, you keep thoughts about other people, or you cannot let go of feelings or of anxieties. This can also be a slavery. There are so many things where we need to be saved, and we can be saved through the Spirit. Sometimes we like to receive some word because it's a certain person who talks to us. But if another person talks to us, we don't like to hear this word. Why? Because we are under slavery. We cannot accept something that this brother says to us. Slavery has got many faces. And in the Lord's Spirit, there is the saving aspect in our spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. This also means where the Spirit can enter, where we let the Spirit enter in us, there comes liberty. There are many other verses, but I think I will stick to those here. Matthew 2, verse 6.
Dass der Fürst Judas ist, der Herr, denn aus dir wird ein
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. We need somebody who guides us, who goes in front of us, who leads us. We people always need somebody who goes in front of us. But that's also a danger, that we cling on to somebody who seems to know the way. Maybe he knows it.
Geist weiß ihn auf jeden Fall.
But the Spirit for sure knows it.
Ich den Weg weiß.
Do I know the way?
Bitte seid vorsichtig.
Please be.
Der Geist muss unser Führer sein heute.
Please be conscious about this. The Spirit needs to be our leader. The Spirit wants to lead us. He goes in front of us. He guides us. In our daily life, we should get to know the guidance of the Spirit in us. Stick with the Spirit and follow the Spirit, the Lord's Spirit.
Ja, dann habe ich noch einen anderen Aspekt.
One more aspect. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. These chapters, Isaiah is chapter 40, all the 40 chapters, no, the 40, 41, 42. I could read them every week. Chapter 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. In the Spirit, there are characteristics. There are certain characteristics connected to each other which we people cannot bring together, or we would not bring together. Either we rule or we let others rule over us. Or we focus on serving, but we don't rule anymore. But the Lord's Spirit, He can do both. He can serve and He can rule. And in the Spirit, there is a desire to serve. The Spirit serves. The Spirit serves the saints. He does not want to be adored by the saints, but He wants to serve the saints.
Das hat noch eine Eigenschaft, nämlich Ausdauer.
And this serving has persistence.
Er wird nicht verzagen.
Verse 4, chapter 42, verse 4, He will not fail nor be discouraged till He has established justice in the earth.
Das hat mich angesprochen.
This has touched me.
Der Geist hat Ausdauer.
The Spirit is persistent. He will not be discouraged.
Relativ leicht.
We are soon discouraged. If something does not work, if somebody will not change, then we'll say, he will never change. Do you know this? You will never learn this. It's disgusting, such a sentence. If we think about the saints, they will never change. I want to be hard about this. This is a thought of the devil. Why? Because this is against the Scripture. God has the purpose for us that we are being conformed into the image of the Son. How can I say or think that this person, this brother, will never be changed? It's God's purpose for this brother to be changed into the image of the Son. And He will do it. It's written like that. Yesterday somebody said concerning Luke chapter 4, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. Everything that was written about the Messiah was fulfilled when Jesus came. And everything that is spoken about the church, the Spirit will fulfill that through the Spirit. The Lord says, not by power or might, but through my Spirit. So we have, we know it will be done. It will be done through the Spirit. And this Spirit will not be discouraged. I wrote down many verses, but I wrote them down for me, I guess.
Ich möchte noch was mitgeben. Matthäus 3,
One, I want to give you Matthew chapter 3, verse 3.
Nur darüber nachzusinnen,
so that you think about this,
die Verse mal zu lesen,
to read this Matthäus verse and 3, think about
3,
it.
Von Johannes dem Täufer ist hier die Rede. Dieser ist der,
For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And when you read Isaiah now, if you read Isaiah 40 verse 3, you see something very astonishing. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. If you only read the New Testament, you think that John prepared the way for the Lord Jesus. This is right, but in Isaiah 40 we see more. He prepared the way for our God.
In Isaiah 40, verse 3,
in Isaiah 40, verse
3,
it says the way of the Lord, Lord in big letters, in bold letters. Here the name of God was written, and because they did not want to speak out this word, they always said Lord. But here the name of God was written, actually. So that's why it's written in bold letters. Prepare the way for the living God, for Yahweh. This really touched me when I read this the last days.
Dieser Name bringt ganz besonders zum Ausdruck, Gott ist ein Gott, der nahe sein will.
This name shows us that God is a God who wants to be near to us, who's merciful, who's full of grace. He's the God who's looking for the relationship, for the, yeah, to be close to us. And we have it more closer than the disciples had him. Jesus was sitting with his disciples. He was sitting next to them. But today he's in us, inside of us. You cannot come any closer. He is the God who's searching to be close to us. This is the Lord's Spirit in us. Don't you think he is able to build the church? For sure. He is the one through whom everything was done. The old creation, everything was done through him. Nothing was created without of him. And we see that in John chapter 1. And then the new creation, how is it there? It shall be done through my Spirit. Nothing in the new creation is done without the Spirit. Everything is done through the Spirit. Together with us, by that we give the Spirit room to work in us. The Lord is looking for room in us, for a dwelling in us.
In
2 Corinthians 6, verse 12, Paul says to the Corinthians that their hearts are narrow. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 12.
Wem gegenüber ist dieses Herz eng?
You're restricted. We're restricted in the hearts. How? In the first place, we are restricted concerning the brothers and sisters in our hearts. Your hearts are narrow, so you're restricted. But our heart is wide open. Why is the heart on the one side it's open? The heart of Paul is wide open, but the heart of the Corinthians is restricted. Why?
Ja, das Herz des Paulus war erfüllt mit der Liebe des Geistes.
The heart of Paul was filled with the love of the Spirit. The love of Christ is, it's working in us. It's causing us to be open. But our heart, by nature, is very restricted. And we are always standing in this danger that our heart becomes restricted again. Maybe sometime we had a wide open heart, but if we live in our natural being, our heart can get restricted again. The Spirit can show this to us if our heart is restricted.
Unser Empfinden für die Heiligen auch als
how we feel or see our brothers and sisters, it's an indication how open or closed our heart is. If we criticize the brothers or sisters, if we think better of us, if we think we know it better, if we think we have experienced more, if we think we give more, if I have this impression concerning others, then my heart comes smaller and more narrow. And in the end, the saints don't have any room in my heart. No room at all in my heart. And the bad thing is, by this, the Lord has no room in us anymore. And from this, the Lord's Spirit wants to save us. Whenever the Spirit shows us that our heart is not wide open in love and mercy towards the brothers and sisters anymore, then we should repent. Lord Spirit, save me. Jesus, Savior, save me. Because the Lord has such a heart for the saints. When you want to read this afternoon, another verse. I don't find the verse right now.
Jesaja 40.
I really recommend you to read Isaiah chapter 40.
Da heißt es von dem Hirten, er nimmt die Lämmer auf den.
In Isaiah 40 it says that the shepherd takes the little lambs on his arm.
Es gibt Geschwister, die muss man nicht in dem Sinn, wie die Deutschen das Sprichwort haben, sondern im echten Sinne nehmen.
There are some brothers and sisters, they need it to be carried on the arm. Maybe sometimes I'm like that too. But this is the desire of the Spirit. It's the desire of the Spirit to protect the saints, to carry those who are weak.
Da heißt es, dass er den Müden.
And in end of chapter 40, what does the Spirit do with those who are tired? He gives them new strength.
Der Zusammenhang ist,
if you see that the Lord is the Creator who created the whole universe, and He gives all of them a name, and then it said here, verse 28 is the creator of the ends of the earth. But then he says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It's the Creator God who gives us strength. If I have still 85% of my own strength, I don't need strength. But if I have no strength left, I really need strength. Shortly ago, I had to walk up 3 stories to the meeting hall. And I was walking with a brother, and he said suddenly, oh, I cannot go on. And I told him, yes, you can go on. But our natural strength is still very powerful. If we think we can't, don't have any more strength, we still have some little strength left. But sometimes we are at a point where we really feel we have no strength at all left. Then I'm tired and I don't have any more strength left. And for those, the Creator gives new strength. He gives strength so that we walk and do not get, we shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and